Same car man, too. Tom Appel will keep you around for another year at least. How you doing, buddy?
I am well, thank you.
Do great work with Consumer Guide Automotive. I feel like we talked about this story when they passed the bill, the 2021 Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, about cars that are going to try and recognize if you're drunk and essentially stop the car. Where are we with that technology? Are any deadlines coming up? I'm reading an article which is a little, I will just say, biased on saying that this is not a good idea. I'm sure there's arguments against it, but walk us through where we are at this point.
Yeah, so NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, owes us, the American people, a set of parameters and rules on how this system was going to work. And what it is fundamentally is a system in your car that would detect a drunk driver or an impaired driver. It doesn't necessarily have to be alcohol, but it would do this through activity. So it's not some sort of system that does a breathalyzer, for example, but instead is monitoring how you're driving. And we have stuff in cars right now, drowsiness alert systems, things like that. But they're hyper-passive. They just trigger a light on the dashboard suggesting that you should pull over and rest. This system would be more active. It's being called a kill switch, but that's not accurate. It would slowly reduce the speed of the car, give you a chance to pull over, and then the car would stop and not be able to be restarted. So that's the way the system is supposed to work. But we are behind schedule in getting the rules for this thing. As you mentioned, it was 2021. And generally, U.S. agencies are given about 5 years to come up with rules and parameters for how something this would work. And then they go up for public comment. And we're not there yet.
So what would happen if they just decide not to give us any guidelines on this? Does the law just become moot, or does then Congress have to act to revise it? Or do we know what happens next if we don't get any answers from the feds?
That is a great question. We know that Republicans in the House today tried to block this bill, and then they failed. So it's going to stay a law. So NHTSA has to act soon if they're going to stay within the five-year rule. I don't know what the delay is. I don't think it just dies. I think it just sits there until something happens. And I don't know what power Congress has to go after NHTSA to make this happen.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I imagine the Republicans who led the charge against trying to implement this, they're not for drunk driving, but there's got to be, what, privacy concerns and the idea that this is essentially policing your car without a warrant.
That's exactly what people are concerned about, or at least say that they're concerned about, and there's cause to believe that. Part of the problem with that is this is not the primary reason by which the government could take control of your car. We are moving to something called the software-defined vehicle, where a manufacturer could, via cellular connection, control much of what your vehicle does anyway. That's going to happen no matter what. So this is not really the step towards total government control of your vehicle, as it seems like.
Yeah. And in fact, 57 Republicans voted to keep the kill switch. So this thing didn't even stand a chance in the House. But we'll wait and see what the guidance may be. Okay. A lot of cold weather. Anything you need us to know about if our car is out in the cold for a long time? I thankfully have a garage now. I did not for many, many years when I parked on the streets of Chicago. Man, our cars really take a beating, don't they?
They do, yeah. And the thing that everyone's seeing right now is that their tire,
tire pressure
monitoring system. Yep.
What does that mean? Why? Yeah, mine goes off, and then as I drive, the pressure seems to come back, and I never know exactly whether it's really a problem or not.
That's the problem, and no one does. But generally, if you do drive the vehicle for 10 or 15 minutes and the lights go off, you're good.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
All right.
It's just that they're decreasing, and the monitors don't know what to make of it.
Do we need to let our cars warm up for a while? I remember that was a thing for a while.
Yeah. And when I was a kid, when I was in high school, right, the whole thing was to go out and let the car run for 20 minutes. But that's not the case anymore. We use really light synthetic oil. Things are machined more finely than they used to be. Let the car just run for 30 seconds or so before you pull out. You don't want to rush it, but you do not need to let it idle.
I mean, these cars are built for this, too, right? Like, we shouldn't worry too much.
Yeah, no. Cars are completely built around much colder temperatures than even here in Chicago.
Okay. All right. Well, good. I'll add that to the pile of things I don't have to worry about anymore. that's always good when you can do that for me, Tom. We obviously had the Consumer Electronics Show. Yeah, I believe that's the correct name for it. CES. Mm-hmm. And there was a car an electric vehicle, a premium one called Zeekr. Are you up to speed on this?
Zeekr is interesting, and the CES show is interesting, too. In years past, CES had literally become another auto show. And manufacturers or automotive manufacturers showed a lot of stuff there. That didn't happen this year. It was much quieter. But one manufacturer that did show up is Zeekr. Zeekr is a brand of electric vehicles out of China, owned by Geely. And Geely is the parent company of Volvo, so we're familiar with them. But they brought a bunch of Chinese cars here. And if we've been following the news and people's paranoia about the Chinese overrunning the U.S. auto market, it's interesting to note that Geely does have a path here into the United States and that they could build cars in South Carolina at Volvo's factory there that they have a relationship with. But there was five different Zeekr models showed up at CES and generally impressed everyone who saw them. My podcast co-host, Joe Simonillo, spent some time with those vehicles, even drove them. Came away very impressed.
Okay, so then these are higher-end EVs. Would they be more competitive in an American environment versus, I can't remember the name of the brand, the smaller $10,000 one?
Yes, yeah, BYD builds those very cheap cars in China. Yes, part of what's interesting about these is they're not as frightening as we thought they would be in terms of market position. Some of these vehicles are sold now in Mexico, and though they can sell them in China for $25,000 or so, in Mexico, the prices are more like $50,000 and $60,000.
Oh, wow.
So it's not like they can sneak in here with this hyper-cheap vehicle and just destroy the market. It's going to be a little bit more nuanced than that.
They can't Zeek in here, is what you meant to say there.
See what I did? That is what I meant to say.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I understand. So even though if they make it in the United States, are they going to be able to then avoid the 100% tariffs on Chinese-made cars?
They should. The way the rules are written right now, they should be able to avoid those tariffs.
Okay, and I'm confused. So Zeekr is a Chinese company, but it's owned by Geely, which owns Volvo. And is Geely a Chinese company? No, that's Swedish, right?
Yes, it is. No, Geely is Chinese. Volvo is still Swedish, and Volvo still maintains a headquarters in Sweden, but they're 100% owned by Geely now.
My brain just exploded. Like, EV batteries seem to explode in people's heads, but not in reality. Okay. Anything else in the car world that you got your eye on? We got an extra minute or show. Tom, the floor is yours.
Yeah. You know what just happened? And I haven't gotten confirmation of this, but two local newspapers up in Northern Illinois are reporting that, the manufacturing at the Belvedere plant is going to be delayed by at least 6, 7, or 8 months.
And what was supposed to be happening there again? Because I know that was part of the UAW contract, the victory that they had, and then it kind of stalled out, and we don't really know whether it's going to be built there or not. There were threats back and forth. What is supposed to be happening there and maybe delayed at this point, you're saying?
A new vehicle, the Jeep Cherokee, was supposed to be built there. It's a new hybrid midsize crossover that was supposed to be built there. That will be built there, I think, eventually. But for whatever reason, manufacturing has been pushed back.
Okay.
So before that, they were talking about building electric pickup trucks there. That's not going to happen now.
Okay. Anything you want to plug? Obviously, Consumer Guide Automotive, the podcast, and give us your rundown, my friend, where we can find all that you guys do.
Yeah, this week's podcast, which just went live, we interviewed Steve Saleen, racing and auto engineering legend, and it's a really good interview. He's got he has consigned a show at the LeMay Auto Museum up in Tacoma, Washington. Very proud of that. That's going to run there for 18 months, but it's a really good interview.
Okay, and we can find that anywhere we listen to our podcast, yeah?
Yep, the Car Stuff Podcast, any place.
I love it. Tom Appel, thanks for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
He's the best.